Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is really continuing what we left off with on the bottom of Ted Vav Amud Bet, which is the stira between the Mishnayot in Tamid and in Midot. The Gemara there was discussing why is it that we start with the Korban Olah, with the corner that is on the northeastern side, and then we move to the corner that is on the southwestern side. The Gemara says that Pagav Reisha, that's when he gets to first. Then the Gemara here brings in these Mishnayot to say, well, he has to go over to Lishkat HaTlaim. Lishkat HaTlaim is where they kept the Tzaon, and then he comes back. Tosfot over there says, well, that explains why he goes to that corner first, because the Lishkat HaTlaim is in the northwestern side of the Azara. He goes up and picks up a Tle, and then he has to do Shchita B'Tzafon. He does Shchita B'Tzafon, does it not just in the north. According to Tosafot, it's according to the opinion that he can do it even in the northeast. So he does it in the northeast side, so then when he approaches the Mizbeach, that's the corner that he's going to hit first. So that's the corner he's going to hit first, this northeastern corner. That's the one he does, the Shtayim Shein Aba, Echad Shu Shtayim on that corner. Then he goes around to the other side, Marvid Dromit, and does the Echad Shu Shtayim on the other side of the Mizbeach. The Gemara then brings these two Mishnayot that talk about the Beit HaMoked. And in the Lishkat Beit HaMoked, it enumerates what seems to be two different enumerations of the rooms that were there. We have in the Mishnah Midot, we have Lishkat Tlei HaKarban, which is in the southwestern corner. And then we have the Lishkat Lechem HaPanim in the southeastern corner. Then we have the Ginzei Hashmonaim for the Avnei Mizbeach, which is in the northeastern corner. And then the Yeridah, the descent to the Tevilah, in the northwestern corner. In the Mishnah and Tamid, on the other hand, we have the Lishkat HaTlaim, which is in the northwestern corner. Then we have the Lishkat HaChotamot, which again we know from Shkalim is where they got the receipts to pay for the Nisachim, and that is found in the southwestern corner. Then we have Lishkat Beit HaMoked, which is found in the southeastern corner. Then we have Lishkat Lechem HaPanim, which is in the northeastern corner. So two things that are obviously out of place is Lishkat HaTlaim, in the Mishnah Midot, that's in the southwestern corner. In the Mishnah Tamid, it's in the northwestern corner. The other one is the Lechem HaPanim. In the Mishnah Tamid, the Lechem HaPanim is done in the northeastern corner, whereas the Mishnah Midot is done in the southeastern corner. So those two for sure are out of place. In addition to that, we have two different rooms that are mentioned, and the other two rooms are different in the two Mishnayot. So the Gemara ignores that part. To be honest with you, it doesn't deal with that at all. It only deals with the two rooms that share a common name. The Rishonim themselves deal with the issue about the other rooms, which we'll get to as we solve the problem. So that's one. Number two is, we have here Lishkat Beit HaMoked. Now, the whole thing is called the Beit HaMoked. So what does it mean that there's a Lishkat Beit HaMoked? So Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbat says that the Lishkat Beit HaMoked is where the Kohanim kept warm. They stayed there, they kept warm. And the Beit HaMoked is where they kept the fire to light the Mizbeach from and other things. So there were two pyres that were there. One pyre that was the larger Beit HaMoked for the Mizbeach, and then the Lishkat Beit HaMoked, which was specifically for the Kohanim themselves to utilize. Tosafot wants to suggest maybe it was a backup. They had two places where they had kept a fire going on a continuous basis, and that there was the larger Beit HaMoked, and then the Lishkat Beit HaMoked that was there. It's possible that the Lishkat Beit HaMoked is what gives the larger Beit HaMoked its name, and that it's only one location. They don't have to be mutually exclusive, but it's just something you have to deal with, that there's a larger chamber, it's called the Beit HaMoked, and you have a smaller chamber in there that's called the Beit HaMoked as well. So now the Gemara comes up with an answer, which is, this lishka is a little longer than we thought. It goes to the two corners. The Ati Mitzafon, you enter from the northern side, meaning the outside of the Azara. It looks like it's on the southern side of the room. If you enter the room from the south, it looks like it's on the northern side of the room. That it spans or straddles the two sides of the Beit HaMoked. That means that Lishkat Tlei HaKarban is both on the north side and the south side along the western edge. Now once you've done that, you've answered your problem with regards to the two Mishnayot. Mishnah Midot says that it's in the southwestern corner. That's because it is in the southwestern side as well. The Mishnah in Tamid that says that it's in the northwestern side, it is also in the northwestern side. They're both correct because it spans across this north and the south on the western side. So that's how we solve the problem with regards to Lishkat HaTlaim.
Is there another Lishka on the other corner?
Correct, yes. There is another Lishka in the other corner. Yeah, the other one room is smaller and this room is much larger. It spans almost the whole western side. And Correct. In order to make it look like when you come from the south, it's in the north, and from the north, it's in the south, it couldn't be up against the corner. It has to be off the corner. So, therefore, it's separated from the corner a little bit and spans across. Here you can see, I sent out pictures. Here you go. It spans across. It's a much larger lishka that spans across. But by doing that, you have it both in the south and the north on the western side. So that solves our problem with regards to the inconsistency in the Mishnayot as to where the Lishkat Tlei HaKarban or Lishkat HaTlaim is. So that's the number one, Omistavra. And he says that it makes sense, the Mamarvi Dromitavai, says that the real case is that it's in the southwestern side. That's the real location. It just happens to be that it spans across to the north. So the majority of it is found on that side. Mimai. How do you know that's the case? Because he says, Midraminon Lechem Opanim Alechem Manirim. Because we have another problem in the Mishnayot, which is that they also mention the Lechem Upanim, and you need to solve that problem. Umishaninan, and we have an answer to that. Amar Avuna, brother of Yeshua, Marka Chashiv Derech Yamin, Marka Chashiv Derech Smol. One of them is enumerating moving to the right, one of them is enumerating moving to the left. If you say that the starting point is the southwestern corner, then you end up with the Lechem Apanim ending up in the same location. If you say that the real location is Tzfonit Maravit, is in the northwestern corner, so self, my Teirutsu, the Lechem Apanim. That won't help you with the Lechem Apanim. It must be that Mamarvit Dromit Havai Shmamina. It must have been in the southwestern corner. So if you start in the southwestern corner, depending on the Mishnah in Tamid and Mishnah Midot, one of them enumerates these areas right, meaning moving around towards the right side, and the other one does it moving around to the left side. So if you look in the Mishnah in Tamid, the Mishnah in Tamid is following to the left, which is you have the Lishkat Tlaim, which is in the southwestern corner, and then as you move to the left, the Lishkat HaChotamot is in the northwestern corner. Then you move to the Lishkat Beit HaMoked, which is now in the northeastern corner. And then Lishkat Lechem Panim will turn out to be in the southeastern corner. Whereas if you go to the Mishnah in Midot, the Mishnah Midot is enumerating to the right. So if you start again in the southwestern corner with the Tlei HaKarban, if you move to the right, then you're going to drop to the southeastern corner, and then you have Lechem Panim. That makes Lechem Panim overlap between the two Mishnayot, which is what you want, and that's why he says that has to be the answer. Otherwise, if you put the Lishkat Tlei HaKarban over here, you're not going to end up with that. Because if you put Lishkat Tlei HaKarban in the northwestern corner, then if you're moving to the left for Tamid, you'd end up with Lechem HaPanim being in the northeastern corner. And as opposed to that, you'd end up with, for the Mishnah Midot, with the Lechem HaPanim being in the southwestern corner, and they would not overlap. So that wouldn't solve your problem. So therefore, the Mishnah Midot says that Lechem HaPanim now is in the southeastern corner. Keep moving to the right. Then you have, there's where Ganzu Chashmonim Avneim Zbeach. That'll be in the northeastern corner. And then in the northwestern corner will be the Rida Litvila. Now, what will turn out now is that you have the Lishkat Tlei HaKarban we solved. You have the Lechem HaPanim we solved. But now on the northern side, you have these two different enumerations of Lishkot. You have in the Mishnah Tamid, you have the Chotamot and the Beit HaMoked. In the Mishnah Midot, you have the Rida Litvila and the place where they were Gonez, the Avnei Mizbeach. So what do you do with that? Tosafot says back on Ted Zayin, not here. He said it back on Ted Zayin Amud Aleph. It's really coming off the bottom. Ted Vav Amud Bet there. The Tosafot there says, just like in the Mikdash, Kelim were multi-purpose. They used a pitchfork. They threw it to make noise, and they also used it to turn things over on the Mizbeach. So you see that the Kelim had multi-purposes or multi-function in the Mikdash. It says so too the Lishkot. Lishkot were multi-purpose rooms. They had serviced for two different things. So the place that was the Beit HaChotamot was also the Rida Litvila. And the place that was the Lishkat Beit HaMoked was the place that they put the Avnei Mizbeach. And that's how Tosafot solves the problem. Says that the same Tosafot over here also says that Mistavra on Yudzayin, he says that Yesh Lamar Dal Kochach, to say that Lishkot HaChotamot Lishkat Beit HaMoked Heim Ayu Oto Shtei Lishkot Chashiv Sechen Midot. These are the same two Lishkot that are mentioned in Midot. Chachabag Ganzu Beit Chashunai Avnei Mizbeach. Chachabag Yodim LeBeit HaTvila. You can't say they're different ones, but there are four Lishkot here, and the four Lishkot, these overlap. So Tosfot again says that they overlap and that they are the same Lishkot that were mentioned here are mentioned in the other location. Now, what's interesting, and happens to make a lot more sense, is that the Rambam in the Mishnayot in Mesechet Midot, Rashi in Mesechet Tamid, and the Bartanura in Midot, all have a different enumeration. And they actually have the Chotamot and the Beit HaMoked reversed versus what we have in the Mishnah. And because of that, it turns out to work out a lot nicer, the overlap. Because then, if you have those reversed in the Mishnah Midot, it will turn out that the Lishkat HaMoked, Beit HaMoked overlaps with the Yeridah L'Tevilah. Now that makes a lot of sense, because Lishkat Beit HaMoked, if that's where the Kohanim stayed, and they hang around there, then they were the ones who needed the Yeridah L'Tevilah. Number two is the Lishkat Chotamot, that they also used that for the Genizah. Okay, that makes some sense. But the fact that the Lishkat Beit HaMoked and Yeridah L'Tevilah overlap makes a lot of sense, and would not even make it into a multifunctional room. It would be actually the single function of the room, which is that you have the pyre, the Kohanim sleeping there, and that's their exit out of the Lishka that's there. So it's interesting that the Rambam there, Rashi and Tamid, as well as the Bartanura, all have that girsa that puts the Lishkat Beit HaMoked and Chotamot flipped in the Mishnah in Tamid. And by doing that, when flipping that part of the Mishnah in Tamid, you end up with a much better overlap between the Mishnayot. The Tosfot Yom Tov says that he sees this. He says, I wanted to fix the Mishnah, but I was reluctant because of Tosafot. Because Tosafot, he aligns the Lishkot the other way. And he says, because of Tosafot, I didn't do it. But I really wanted to fix the Mishnah and say, look, based on all of these other opinions, it seems to me that the Mishnah is out of order. Now, the most interesting question that's asked here is by Tosafot, by the Riva. And the Riva asks here in our Gemara, in Daf Yud Zayin, I'm a bit, he says, I don't understand. The Mishnah in Tamid, if you read it carefully, you know, if I read the Mishnah simply, it sounds like this as well, which is, Amalem, Sui Viu Tzlem Lishkat Tzlaim, Vare Lishkat Tzlaim Aitab Mimiktoa Tzfonit Maravit. The Lishkat Tzlaim was in the northwestern side. Va'arva Lishkot Ayusham. And there were four Lishkot there. What it makes it sound like is, that Lishkat, it's not talking about the Lishkat Beit HaTzlaim in particular, right, saying that the larger Lishka is in the northwestern corner, which happens to be true. The Beit HaMoked, the larger Beit HaMoked, is found in the northwestern side of the Azara. Then, the Mishnah goes on to enumerate the four Lishkot that are there. Not giving you where they are in the Lishka, but they just say that these four Lishkot are found within this. Tosafot says, in the end he can't do it, because he says, well, if that means that this one's in the Marvit Dromit, and then he tries to align it with the Mishnah Tamid, he has to stick some other Lishkot in other places, and he can't get it to work. But the question is the most interesting, because as opposed to the Mishnah Midot, which gives you the exact location of where each of the Lishkot were, the Mishnah in Tamid simply tells you that it was in the northwest. We assume that meant that the Lishkat HaTzlaim was in the northwest. And then it enumerates the other Lishkot. We assume that that means they were going around. But if you simply say the larger Beit HaMoked was in the northwest, and then it gives you an enumeration of the Lishkot that were inside there without giving you where they are located, then you might have a much easier way of reconciling between the two of them. Tosafot tries to work it out, and he can't get it to work exactly, but that's probably the most interesting question, to suggest that that Mishnah in Tamid is not giving you the location of Lishkat HaTzlaim, but rather the location of the larger Beit HaMoked. Tosafot has some other suggestions here about how to solve the problem, about making all the Lishkot cross over the halfway point and moving things around, and he says in the end that maybe there is another way to do it, but that's why the Gemara says here, Mistavra, makes sense that it looked this way because we can solve the problem, but not mean that's exclusive way to set it up. There might be alternative ways to figure it out and to make it work. All right, so that's the solution that the Gemara gives to this. Now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'amamar, didn't we say back on Daf Tedvov, Kol Pinot Shata Poneh Lo Yoh LeDerech Yamin LeMizrach, every turn that you make should go to the right, to the east. Now, east is only relevant because the original statement was made with regards to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach, when you go up on the southern side, that's the face of the Mizbeach, that's where the Kevish, the ramp is. So when you turn right, you're turning to the east. So east is an addendum, because that's when the original statement was made with regards to the Mizbeach. It's true anywhere else, even if it's not to the Mizrach, that you should always move to the right. Now you're suggesting to me that one of the Mishnayot enumerated to the right, and one of the Mishnayot enumerated to the left. So why would you enumerate to the left when you're supposed to be enumerating to the right? So when it says, Hani Milei Ba'avoda, that's true when you're doing something active. When you're enumerating items, when you're talking about things in the abstract, there's no problem going to the left or going to the right. Going to the right is only a practical issue. When you have to make a decision about which way to go practically, then you move to the right and not to the left. So that's why we make the choice to always go to the right. When you go up the Mizbeach, he turns to the right instead of to the left. When we made the decision about going around the Mizbeach down below with the Shtayim Shein Arba, we also go to the right, not to the left. So on and so forth, and we'll get this later on in the Masechet Yoma, when the Kohen Gadol is going in and out of the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodeshim, where he meets the Mizbeach Zav, coming out also, we always go to the right side. So all of these have impact in terms of the way that we turn or do avodah, but that's only in the maaseh, when you're acting or active. But when you're simply enumerating items and talking about them in the abstract, you can go to the left or you can go to the right. All right, now the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol makriv chalek berosh, v'notel chalek berosh. Kohen Gadol is makriv first, and he takes a portion first. Tanu Rabbanan, Keitzer makriv chalek berosh. What does that mean, that he can be makriv whenever he wants? Omer, he can say, Ola zu, ani makriv. You see that Ola? I want to take care of it. Or you can say, Mincha zu, ani makriv. That Mincha? I want to put that on the Mizbeach. Basically, he can usurp the Avodah from any other Kohen and say, I want to do this Avodah, and he can go ahead and he can be the one who does the Avodah. Then, Keitzer notel chalek berosh. What does that mean that he gets the first portion? In the division of the Kodashim, what does that mean that he gets the first portion? So, Omer, Chatat zu, ani ochel. See that Chatat over there? That's my dinner. He says, Asham ze, ani ochel. That Asham there? That's my lunch. Notel, and then he can take it. Now, also, notel chala, mishtei chalot. An atzeret, the shtei alechem that comes with the shlamim, shalmi tzibor, the kvasim, on atzeret, on Shavuot, there was shtei alechem. So those were divided amongst the kohanim. If he comes along and says, I want a portion, he gets one of the two. He gets one, and everybody else divides the other one. Arba or chamesh from maseh lechem apanim. He gets 4 or 5 out of the loaves, the 12 lechem apanim. He can keep 4 or 5 of them for himself. Rabbi Omer, the olam chamesh. He can only have 5. Shenemar, Vaital Aron ulovanav. Pasuk says it'll be for Aron and his children, meaning Aron equal to his banav. Mechsa le Aron umechsa le banav. Half Aron, half for banav. Therefore, Rabbi believes that he always gets 5. Why is that half of 12? We'll get to in a second. But he always gets 5. And he thinks that the Kohen Gadol always divides evenly with the other Kohanim. He gets a portion, and they get a portion that's equal to what he gets. The Chachamim believe that he doesn't get a full portion. He has to get less than half. He could get up to a half portion. He may not get a half. He's not equal to the other Kohanim, but he can be as close as to, if possible, as to a half without being equal to the other Kohanim. Now, the Shita of the Rabbonon, as Tosfos Rishonim says over here, is Mechsel Aron and Mechsel Levanav Lav Davko. They see it as being Lav Davko. Shito Keneged Kulam El Karov LeMechsel, he gets a portion. So he says the Chachamim agree to Rabbi's explication of the Pasuk. They just see it differently. They just see that it doesn't literally mean a half. It means just under a half. There are other Rishonim that suggest that the Chachamim's position is that Lav Orach Aro, it's just not appropriate that the Kohen Gadol should be on par with all the other Kohanim. It should be a drop below. It shouldn't be equal to the other Kohanim. And others say that the Rabbonon do not darshan the Pasuk whatsoever of Ravi, and that they believe that this whole institution is an institution de Rabbonon. Now, how do you reconcile between these opinions and what we just said before, when the Kohen Gadol decides he wants to eat something, he gets it, and then over here, all of a sudden we're talking about splitting. In the Rishonim, some suggest that the difference derives from the fact that over there it's a private korban. Since it's a private korban, the Kohen Gadol can usurp the entire thing. So over here we're talking about the korban etzibur. In the korban etzibur, there the Kohen Gadol has to split with the other kohanim. Other Rishonim suggest it depends on how he words it. If he says, I want the whole thing, he gets the whole thing. Says he wants to split it, then there's a proper way to split it with the other Kohanim. It just has to do with the way that he worded it. Others suggest that the Pasuk that we bring to prove that the Kohen Gadol splits it with the Kohanim is found by the Lechem Apanim. And therefore, it's only a din in Lechem Apanim, or maybe in Menachot. It may not be a din in Basar. The din in Basar might be totally different, and that's why we have a differentiation between what's written here and what we said above. The last possibility is that when it meant that he said, I take this Hasham, or I take this Khatat, means that he splits it the way that we split the Lechem Apanim down here. Just means that he gets the largest portion out of it. He gets just about half or half according to Rabbi, not literally that he gets to take the whole thing. So that's how the different Rishonim deal with reconciling between the statements here where we're splitting it between the Kohen Gadol and the other Kohanim, and the statements before where the Kohen Gadol take everything. So where it says, Hagufa Kasha. Now we have a problem. Amart, you said, Notel Chalachat Mishtei Chalot. He takes 1 out of 2. Mani. Who's the author of that position? That's Rabbi he, Tamar Palgo Shakil. That 1 out of 2 is a half. And so therefore that's Rabbi's position that the Kohen Gadol splits evenly with the other Kohanim. He gets 1, they get 1. Seima Mitzioto. That one you can do with the middle of this, right? It says, Arba Uchamesh, Mimasi Lechem Apanim, 4 or 5 from the Lechem Apanim. That's Atan the Rabbonon. That for sure is not the Rabbi, that's the Rabbonon. 4 or 5 definitely means that you're definitely not getting half of the Lechem Apanim. Even if you think 5 is half, then 4 is not a half. And so then he's not getting half the Lechem Apanim. So the Amrei Lo Shakil Pagel, because they say that you don't get half, he gets less than a half. ima seifa. Then you have the last line in the Braita, which is Rabbi Omer lulam chamesh, that you always get five. Reisha v'seifa Rabbi u'mitziyata Rabbanan. And you have the Reisha and the Seifa being authored by Rabbi. And the middle piece, subscribing to the position of the Rabbanan. So Amar Abaye, Reisha u'mitziyata Rabbanan. The first two pieces of the Braita are the Rabbanan. Umodu Rabbanan v'prusa d'lav orach aro, the medva, Kohen Gadol. It's not appropriate to give him broken pieces. So Ein Ochanami, if we had the choice, with regards to the Shtei Lechem, we would give him less than a full Lechem. But since that choice is not offered to us because it's not proper etiquette, it's not proper conduct in front of Hashem or to the status or stature of the Kohen Gadol to give him a broken loaf. So we have to give him a full loaf. So because we have to give him a full loaf, we're stuck in this case giving him a half. But normally we wouldn't do that. So what his suggestion is, that's the first statement in the Braita, that is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, even though it's not their sheet over here, they had to acquiesce because they had to give him a full loaf. The second statement in the Braita is theirs, which is four or five, which is not a half. Less than a half, that we're okay with. Then you have the third statement, which is Rabbi, specifically authored by Rabbi, and that's Rabbi's opinion. That's how Abaye solves the problem. So Mar says, Umay arba chamesh le Rabbanan. Then what is this four or five of the Rabbanan? If the Rabbanan says it's got to be less than a half, why is it four or five? Why isn't five suffice? If you have 12 lechem panim, six is a half. Five is less than a half. That should be it. Why are you also getting four? So he says, Da'amre, nichnas notel sheish, v'yotzei notel sheish. Because the mishmar that's coming in takes six of the lechem panim, v'yotzei, and the mishmar that's leaving, when they switch over on Shabbat, takes six of the lechem panim. Schar hagavat toltot, lo shakyo, and they don't take any schar hagavat toltot. Hagavat toltot is the closing of the doors on that day. Since they switch midday on Shabbat, the mishmar that opened the gates doesn't close the gates. So then there's something called schar hagavat toltot, is the payment for taking care of the doors on that day. So the Rachamim say that there is no differentiation. You don't get extra lechem apanim because you're closing the, right, extra benefits, extra lechem apanim today because you are closing up the shop today. It's split evenly, six and six. Umishtem reshrei by miflag, and therefore you have to break up from 12. But so if you take half, that's 6. But we can't give him a full 6. We have to give him less than 6. So you take one away, you get 5. Chamesh shakil. That's how he gets to 5. Because the Chachamim believe that the Kohen Gadol cannot be on level or par with the other Kohanim. He has to be less than them. He's not equal to them. Rabbi believes that he's equal to the other Kohanim, and therefore he can get the same portion that they get equally. The Chachamim say it means that he can get up to, but not including the half portion. Now, the Rabbi Yehuda, there's a machlok, Yehuda Amar, Nechnas Tontel Sheva. The entering Mishmar takes 7 of the loaves. Shtayim Vizchara Kafat Deltot. 2 of them they get because they're going to close up shop that day. Ve'yotzei Notel Chamesh. And the one going out gets 5. So what the truth is that they're spending 10. The 2 are allocated because the new Mishmar coming in is taking care of the rest of the avoda that day. The remainder they split evenly, which is the remaining 10, they get 5 each. The Nechnas and Yotzei each get 5. So that means be'eser by miflug, splitting between 10. 10 and half is 5. Kohen Gadol gets 5, but he can't take a full half. So what do you do? Butzer chayda, take one away, mipalga from half, v'shakel arba, and that's how he ends up with 4. So the Chachamim's position is, even if you hold like the Chachamim or Rabbi Yehuda in this machloket about how they divided up the lechem apanim, then the Kohen Gadol will either end up with 4 or 5. According to the Chachamim, will end up with 5. Which is one less than a half, which would have been 6. Because there, they believe all 12 were divided evenly. Each mishmar gets 6. Kohen Gadol can't take half, so he can't get 6. He gets 5. Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that 2 of them are allocated to the mishmar that came in, there's only 10 to split. Each one gets 5. That means that the 2 aren't even in the chalukah. They're granted automatically to the mishmar ha-nichnas. So now you have 10 left. Half is 5. Kohen Gadol can't get 5. Drop one down, he gets 4. And that's the statement of the Chachamim in the Braita, that he gets either 4 or 5, depending if it's Shittat Rabbi Yehuda or Shittat Chachamim. Then Rabba disagrees with Abaye and says, no, Kulei Rabbi hi. The entire Braita is authored by Rabbi. B'sover laki Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The 2 are allocated to the Mishmar ha-nichnas. And then there's 10 that's divided up. Elamai Arba. So then, what's the Arba doing this? Ha, Chamesh, Bayim Mishkal. Rabbi, who believes, number one, the Kohen Gadol gets a full half, he can take up to half. Number two is he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that 2 of them are given to the Mishmar ha-nichnas, 10 of them are divided. The Kohen Gadol does not get his hand into the pots if it's allocated directly to a Mishmar. He only gets his hand in the pot, that's split. Here, the split pot is 10. So that split pot he gets his hand into, that's 10. He gets half of that, 5. So then, what's the mention of 4? Lokasha, hadika mishmar mitakev, Hadaleka mishmar hamitakev. That has to do with whether the mishmarot got caught over in Yerushalayim. Now, there's two ways to get caught over in Yerushalayim. One way to get caught over in Yerushalayim is if Yom Tov is immediately adjacent to Shabbat. If Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, or if Yom Tov falls out on Friday, you can't ask the mishmar to leave. So, for instance, if it's the regel ends on Friday. So the last day of the regel is Friday, and then they go directly into Shabbat. All the mishmarot are there for the regel. You can't ask them, say, oh, you should go home now. They can't go home. It's Shabbat. They're stuck. They're stuck here because Yom Tov went right into Shabbat. If they stuck here and Yom Tov went directly into Shabbat, we can't blame them for staying behind. So when they stay behind in that case, we grant them a portion of the Lechem Hapanim. They split evenly in the Lechem Hapanim. That's one case. The other case is Yom Tov starts on Sunday. Yom Tov starts on Sunday. They can't come up on Sunday to be there for the regel. They have to come up on Friday. So they're going to be there for the Shabbat, that is Erev Yom Tov, because there's no other way for them to get there. That Shabbat also, they get to split evenly with the Lechem Hapanim. There's another scenario where Yom Tov falls out on Monday or Yom Tov falls out on Thursday. But Yom Tov falls out on a Thursday, that's the last day of Yom Tov. Now they have the ability to go home on Friday, but they decide to stay over through Shabbat. That's one case. Or the other case is where it starts on Monday and they could have come up on Sunday, but they say, you know what, we'll come up early, we'll come on Friday before Shabbat. In that case, they're not given equally, they don't split equally in the Lechem Hapanim, because they were not compelled to be there. They had the option to leave, and they didn't leave. But they do get a portion of the Lechem Hapanim, because they are present. That's what the Gemara says here. That's the difference between the 4 and 5, according to Rabbi, in Shitat Rabbi Yehuda. All the Mishmarot come up on the regel. So, I mean, as opposed to a normal week where you have a Mishmar that's changing over. The Mishmar Nichnas, Mishmar Yotze, that's what the Mishnayot, what we're talking about here, splitting it between the two Mishmarot. So here you're talking about multiple Mishmarot because Mishmarot have to come up for the regel and they're entitled to be there. All Mishmarot work during the regel. First of all, there's a heavy load of work. And besides that, they're entitled to be there. Even though it's not their week, they're entitled to be there during the regel. So now, when this case happens where there's a day buffer in between, in that case, we allocate to those mishmarot that were mitakvot, we allocate them two of the chalot. So now, if you are Rabbi, and you're following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the mishmar nichnas gets two. The mishmar oath that stayed over, they get two. So you took away 4 from the 12, there's 8 left to divide. 8 left to divide, the Kohen Gadol can take half of that, he gets 4 out of the 8. That's how you get the 4. And that's the answer of Rova as to what Rabbi is the author here. Rabbi is the author in Shitat Rabbi Yehuda, which means that there are only 10 to divide each week because 2 of them automatically go to the Mishmar Nichnas. And then why do I have 4 or 5 in Rabbi? Rabbi, it's always half. He gets half of what it is. That's because there's 2 different scenarios. There's a scenario where there's 10 to split, a regular Shabbat. And there's a scenario where there's 8 to split because a Shabbat that is a day buffered away from a regel. The regel ended on Thursday and this is Shabbat, or the regel starts on Monday and this is Shabbat and some of the Mishmarot came up earlier, stayed late. They get those 2 allocated. And that's how you get up to 4 or 5. Now, that's what the Gemara says here. Look, Ashay Dika Mishmar Demit Akev. In that case, you have 8 left over, you get 4 and 4. Adaleka Mishmar Demit Akev. A normal Shabbat, you have 10 that splits 5 and 5. Where it says, Ika Mishmar Demit Akev. Mishmona by the miflog. So then there's only 8 left over to split. Vishakal arba, and he gets to keep 4. The Kohen Gadol gets exactly half. Ileka mishmar ma'itakev. If there's no mishmarot that stay over, then me'aser by the miflog. Then there's 10 to split. Vishakal chamesh. And then he gets 5 because he gets half. Where it says, Yoche, according to your b'shat, Rabba, Rabbi is the first statement of the Braita. The first statement of the Braita is, the shtei alechem on Shavuot gets split evenly. 1 to the Kohen Gadol, 1 to everybody else. Next part of the Braita says 4 or 5. That's talking about the Lechem Hapanim, whether it's Lechem Hapanim that's 10 divided and he gets 5, or 8 divided and he gets 4. Understand that. But the last line in the Braita now is very difficult. Rabbi Omer, Lolam Chamesh. Rabbi says he always gets Chamesh. Had it simply just said Rabbi Omer, Arba Chamesh, then we would have been fine. The Gemara does that in many places. It says, it means Rabbi was the author of the whole Braita. That's fine. Problem is that Rabbi Omer, Lolam Chamesh, it's always 5. Seems to negate the previous statement of the Braita, which is 4 or 5, not always 5. So Olam Chamesh, Gemara says Kasha. That is a difficulty in Rava's explanation here. And then that would make it very difficult to say that the whole Braita is Rabbi, and would throw us back to Abaye's explanation, which is that the first 2 sections are the Rabbanon, and then Rabbi comes along in the last section, and that's the opinion of Rabbi. Okay, we'll stop over here.